Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Pesachim Daf Ayin Vav. We're holding up the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Hey Amid Beis. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, sponsored anonymously, Lila Nishmas, Rabbi Kelmer Zatzal, also sponsored by the Church Avenue Minyan, Lila Nishmas, our friends, neighbors, and members, Yuri Sternfeld, Yehuda Aryeh, Ben Chaim Tuvia, Levi, Alav Shalom, and Moshe Schwartz, Moshe Yitzchak, Ben Yisrael Yaakov, Alav Shalom, and for Shlema, Tefek Apparel, Bas, Devorah, Rivka, also sponsored for Shlema, for Sar Rivka, Bas Hinda Bela, and Yal Esther Malka, Bas Shlema, Rachel, also by the Gelernter, Morris, and Sachs families for Rafu Shalema, for Shira Bas Tevora Leia, also by Sheldon Waltuck in memory of his father Mordechai Ben Asher Zelig, whose yard site is today, Nisham Shav Nalia, also by Mr. Andrew Keller in memory of Dov Ben Yermio Schmelzer Zatzal on his fifth yard site, Nisham Shav Nalia, and all those who need a Rafu Shalema should have one, the Soch Shar Chol Yisrael. So we are holding again at the Mishnah on Ayin Hey Amid Beis, and today's daf, Pesach Mayin Vav is like a crash course in Isra Veheter, in like Yaradeya. If this is what I'm learning all year with the Smicha guys, so it's a lot packed into a small daf. Obviously, we're just going to learn the Gemara. We're not going to go through all of Yaradeya, but we're going to begin with the fundamental machlokas about where something hot falls into something cold. We know that when two hot things mix together, so there's tam that transfers all over the place. If two cold things happen to touch each other, nothing happens. It's they're cold, so there's no blios to go from one to the other. But what if hot falls onto cold, or cold falls onto hot? So we're going to have this machlokas, whether ila agavar or tasa agavar, which is the dominant one? Meaning, do we view this as a tarovas of cham, or do we view it as a tarovas of tzonein? So if it's cham, then the tam transfers. So how do we determine how we view this this interaction? Is it based on whether the bottom item is hot, or based on whether the top item is hot? That's going to be a machlokas. We're going to bring three proofs against Shmuel Shita, two sources to support Shmuel Shita, and then Shmuel is going to teach other ways that taste can transfer even without the presence of heat, meaning all of this assumes you need heat, but there may be ways that tam can go from one thing to another even without heat. And then on Amud Beis, we're going to introduce the machlokas between Rav, not just introduce, we're going to introduce and discuss the machlokas between Rav and Levi, whether tam can be transferred through Reach, whether Recha Milsa or Recha Lav Milsa, through the aroma alone, meaning in the heat of an oven, when two things are cooking together, so there's an aroma of the food that's going through the airspace of that oven. So does the aroma of one food affect the other food in that same oven? Do we assume that the reyach that's there is going to, so you have kosher and non-kosher cooking in the same oven, uncovered at the same time, machlokes, whether the reyach of the non-kosher food is going to affect the kosher food? That is Amud Beis. So let's begin with the Mishnah on the bottom of Ayin Hey Amud Beis. Naga b'charso shel tanur. If let's say some of the meat of the Korban Pesach touches the actual cheres, the actual the wall of the oven, and it was the wall is hot, so yiklof es mekomo. You have to peel off that piece of meat from the Korban Pesach, that spot where the meat touched. You have to peel off a little bit from the Korban Pesach because that spot of meat was cooked not by the heat of the fire. It was not sli, which is what we discussed yesterday, the definition of tzli, rather was heated by the hot wall of the oven. So that's why you need to peel off that which was heated improperly, that which was not roasted the way tzli esh, the way Karban Pesach is supposed to be roasted. The Rabbi Yonis and Eibshitz in the Krasi Uplasi in Simon Kofei Sif Katnir Alf says, well, wait a second, if that klipa, that kedei klipa became non-kosher because it was nitzla by the cheres of the tanur and not by the esh, so it's absolute iser. So why doesn't it though go and aser whatever meat is right next to it? Meaning whenever two pieces of meat are touching each other, one asers the other. So whenever they're hot, one asers the other. So it's true the blia from the effect of that cheres only affected that klipa, but now that klipa is not kosher. So it should then affect the next klipa, which should have, at the very least, it should affect the next klipa over. So you'd have to do a double. You should have to do a double klipa. So he says it's hard to say when the Mishnah says yiklof, it means double klipa. So Kivega writes that for this kasha, such a strong kasha, you have to say that when it says yiklof, it actually means to take a double klipa, that you don't just take one kedei klipa, you take a second kedei klipa, because just by the fact that it's touching it is going to, by the fact that it's adjacent to it, the next klipa is adjacent to this iser, we assume that received the tam of this iser. Nataf me rotvo ala cheres. Let's say some of the juice of the Karban Pesach lands on the cheres of the tanur, which is very hot. V'chazar elav, and then it goes back onto the Karban Pesach. Then yitel es mekomo. Then you have to do more than a klipa, because now you have to cut out a certain width of the meat itself. How much is that? So the Rush writes in the seventh parak of Chulin, it's ka'ovi etzpa. It's the width of a thumb. You have to cut that out. And that's what Shulchan Aruch Paskins and Siman Sadivav in Yaradeya. The Ran on the Rif in Maseches Chulin says Natila is just a little more than Klipa. The width of a finger is a lot more than Klipa. Natila just means a little more than Klipa. But again, we assume that it's the width of the finger, because Rotav, when you have gravy, that goes deep into the meat, and the Rotav is Aser over here because it was cooked by the Cheres and not by the Eish. It's not Sli Eish. Now, Natav Mirotva ala Soldas, if let's say some Rotav of the Karban Pesach falls onto hot flour, and now it became heated from the flour itself as opposed to from Tzli Eish, now Yikmotzas Mekomo. So now that gravy that fell onto the flour is not kosher because it was heated by the flour, and that therefore in turn asers the flour that it's touching. So you have to take a kamitza of flour from around that area because it's been affected by that now non-kosher Rotav, because it's Rotav that was not roasted al yidei Tzli Eish. Sacha b'shemen truma. If let's say you take a truma oil and you rub it on the outside of the meat of the Karban Pesach, se'im chaburas kohanim yochelu. So if the chabur is the group of people that are registered on that Karban Pesach are kohanim, no problem. They're allowed to eat truma, so let them eat it. But im shal Yisrael. But if the group of people registered on that Karban are not allowed to eat truma, they're Yisrael and they're zarim. Se'im chayhu. If the meat of the Karban Pesach has not yet been roasted when the truma was rubbed on it, so yadichenu, quickly rinse it off to get rid of all that shemen shel truma, and then you'll be able to roast it and eat it, and it's not going to be a problem. Rinsing it is going to be good enough, because we assume that there's no actual blia, everything was cold, it was uncooked, it's going to be fine. But vim tzliu, if the Karban Pesach was already roasted, so then the shemen has already been absorbed into the Karban Pesach, rinsing is not going to be enough, yiklof esachitzon, you're going to have to peel off the outer layer of the Karban Pesach and just burn whatever it is that you peel off. Sako b'shemen shel meiser sheni, let's say it's not shemen shel truma, it's meiser sheni oil. Now, meiser sheni oil shouldn't be a problem, because meiser sheni, the halacha is, you have to eat in Yerushalayim, but you're allowed to eat it. Anybody's allowed to eat it, as long as you're in Yerushalayim. Karban Pesach's eaten in Yerushalayim anyway. So, lechoro, not going to be a problem. But, here's the problem. Let's say it was someone else's meiser sheni oil, and he wants to charge you for it now. So, that's a problem. You're not allowed to charge the b'nei chabura for the money that oil costs. Shein podim meiser sheni b'Yerushalayim. Because once Meister Sheni comes into Yerushalayim, you're not allowed to exchange it for money anymore. The only thing you're allowed to do is to eat it. So you're not even allowed to sell Meister Sheni in Yerushalayim to somebody else. If you have your Meister Sheni, you brought it to Yerushalayim, and it's still food, it wasn't transferred for money, so then you have to just eat it. So that is the Mishnah. So now, says the Gemara, Itmar, Cham l'tocham, Divrei HaKol Asur. When you have two hot things that fall one on the other, everyone is going to agree that that's going to be usher. That is the classic way that Tom transfers from one item to the next. We'll get into why we're discussing this in a moment, because we're about to discuss Ilah Gavar Tisah Gavar, and all three rayas in the sugya of Ilah Gavar Tisah Gavar are from our Mishnah. So that's why we're bringing this up. But in general, when two hot things interact with each other, Tom transfers between one and the other for sure. That is the classic case of how Tom transfers. Now the Rashba in the Torah Sabayis, in this Paskin Shulchan Aruch, most of the Shulchan Aruch in Nisav Heter is based on the Rashba and Torah Sabayis, unlike most of the rest of Shulchan Aruch, which is pretty much based on the Rambam. The Rashba and Torah Sabayis is what in Nisav Heter is what the Shulchan Aruch bases himself on, that the definition of Cham in this context is that it still has to be Yad Soled Espo. I mean, even if it's not still on a fire, but it's still hot to the point of Yad Soled Espo, that's how we define Cham. Once it's below Yad Soled Espo, then it's not going to be considered cham anymore. There is a discussion in the Rishonim whether food that's in a klisheni, but it's still yad soled espo, whether that's considered cham, meaning you even took it out of the pot that it was cooked in and you put it in a separate pot. So now it's in a klisheni, and we assume that the dofne klisheni cooled down the food, but temperature wise, it's yad soled espo. So that is a discussion in the Rishonim. So the Shach writes in Yoredei and Simon Kofei that if you have a dover gush that's in a klisheni, it's not a liquid, it's a solid food that's sitting in a kli sheni, and it's still yatzal at its boat, that's like a kli rishon. That's considered cham. But if it's a liquid that takes the shape of its container and it gets cooled off by all of the walls of the kli evenly, then it would be considered, even if it still is yatzal at its boat, it would be considered something that's not cham, that's not able to transfer taste. So anyway, so cham l'tol cham, everyone agrees that's aser. Tzonin l'tol tzonin, debriya kol mutter. If you have two foods that are cold that come in contact with each other, everyone's going to agree that that's mutter. There are no blios, there's no way for tam to transfer from one to the other without heat being the medium. Cham l'tol tzonin, v'tzonin l'tol cham. But what if something hot falls on something cold, or something cold falls into something hot? Rav amar ilo agavar. The definition of whether we view this as a mixture of cham or whether we view this as tzonin is all based on what the upper one is. If the upper one, the upper one, the post can point out, means the moving piece, the piece that's doing the falling, because sometimes the upper one ends up being on the bottom. Meaning, let's say you have a pot of milk and a hot piece of meat falls onto the milk. Now, piece of meat doesn't fall onto milk; it falls into milk. So what's the ilah? What's the tasa? On the one hand, the meat started out on top, but then it sunk right into the milk, so now it's on the bottom. So we always say the moving piece is the ilah, the one that's kavua, the one that's set in place. That's the tasa, that's the bottom one. So when you have, so that's what the Shach points out in Yerodeya and the Drisha and others. That rule has to be. Otherwise, the whole sugya of ilah tasa doesn't work. You have to be able to define something as Zilah and something else as Tasa. So you have Cham Tzonin and Cham. So Rav says, how we view this is based on whether the upper one is hot or cold. Ushmuel Amar Tasa Gavar. Shmuel says, no, the way we view it is based on whether the lower one is hot or cold. That's what the Poskim discuss. Is Shmuel based on heat rises, right? Is that what this is this is about? It's based on the physics of heat rising, and therefore we assume the lower one being hot will affect the upper one a lot more than the upper one being hot will affect the lower one, or maybe no, the weight of the upper one coming down, it's the gravity of the upper one coming down, that's what causes it to affect. That's the svara of ilah agavar. That's Rav. So anyway, so Rav holds ilah agavar, Shmuel holds tasa agavar. So tna, not of it. So now we're going to have three rayas from our Mishnah. All three rayas from our Mishnah, and then two more rayas not from the Mishnah. So three rayas from the Mishnah. Tna, not of mirot v'al acheres. If some sauce of the Karban Pesach, some of the juice of the Karban Pesach, falls on the cheres of the tanur, the chazrei love, and then goes back onto the Karban Pesach, drips back onto the Karban Pesach, yitos mekomi, you need to take away a kedei netila. So kasal kadaitach becheres sonenes, we're assuming that the cheres is still cold. So bishlam the rav da'amari lo agav armisham hach yitos mekomo. So how did this gravy become treif, right? How did it become not kosher? It must be that we assume it absorbed from the cheres, but how could it absorb from the cheres if the cheres was cold? Oh, because the gravy was hot. So hot gravy, which is the ila'a, goes on to the cheres, which is the tasa'a. So I understand very well, according to Rav, that ila'a gavar, that everything is determined by that which is the ila'a, that which is the higher one. So then it makes sense. The azul rotav matakle the cheres, because then the rotav itself, the sauce, goes and heats up the cheres, vad the cheres matakle the rotav. And that in turn will transfer its own blia into the rotav. The chiyad the rotav apes. And now that rotav comes back to the Pesach, come out from Pesach, machmas chay musa de cheres. It's now affecting that rotav has now been roasted by the chamimus of the cheres and not by the chamimus of its liesh, and therefore that rotav is going to be a problem. V'rachmana amr tzliyesh v'lotzi machmas avracher. And yet the Torah insists that you need to have a carbon Pesach at tzliyesh and not roast it on the day something else. Ella, but l'shmuel amr tasa gavar. But according to Shmuel, who holds that it's the tasa'a that's gavar, that it's the status of that which is in place, that which is on the bottom, that's going to determine whether we view this as cham or tzonein. So cheres, given the tzonein, no kiri maker than the rotav. The cold cheres should not have any interaction on a cooking level with whatever rotav landed on it. So mayitos mekoma, why then would you need to be notos mekoma from the Karban Pesach when that rotav goes back onto the Karban Pesach? So answer the Gemara, yeah, we misunderstood the case. Kedam Rav Just like in the next raya we're going to bring where it falls onto Soldas, we're going to have a Havamina that it was cold Soldas, and we're going to ask the same Kasha, and we're going to give an answer, no, that the Soldas is really warm. So over here we'll give the same answer. You think the Cheres is cold? The Cheres is really warm. So you could say the same thing over here, that the Cheres is not cold, it's hot Cheres, and therefore it's hot and hot. So of course there's going to be an impact from one to the other. It's not even subject to the Machlokas at all. It is strange, the Tzlach points out, that you know we're going to give the same answer in two of these rayas, right? In the case of the rotav that falls onto cheres and the rotav that falls onto flour. Rotav falling onto cheres came earlier in the Mishnah, right? And we're saying, oh, just like we've already given the answer about rotav that falls onto flour. Sounds like the Iker answer was given for the case of the flour, and we're just applying it over here in the case of cheres. That's unusual. You would think that the earlier case should have been the Iker answer, and then we would continue to apply that answer in later cases of the Mishnah. Okay, be that as it may, the Tzach works on why we do that, why that's the case. So Tznan, we have another raya from our Mishnah. Not of Mirot Valasolas. Again, we're trying to prove who's correct in this Machlokas, whether Ila Agavar or Tasa Agavar. Rav holds Ila Agavar, Shmuel holds Tasa Agavar. So some of the Rotav goes on Solas and flour, Yikmot says Makomo. You need to take a Kemitza away from that flour, from the area where the Rotav fell. So Kasal Kadaitach Besolas Tzananis, we're assuming that the flour is cold. So Bishlam Rav Diamari La Agavar, according to Rav that says that the determining factor of whether we view this as a hot mixture or a cold mixture is what the upper one is, what the Rotav is in this case. Mishamachi Yikmotzes Makomo. So then I understand that you can have to be Komitz Makomo. The Martach Le Solas Dahadar Hudrane, Vahadar Solas, Martach Le Day, Vekamatvi Rotav Machmas Chamusa de Solas. Because after all, the Rotav is being heated by the Solas, which was in itself only heated by the Rotav that fell on it. So V'rachmana Amar, Tzli Eish, Lel Tzli Machmas Tavar Acher. And the Torah says that the Karban Pesach is Tzli Eish, and not Tzli Machmas Tavar Acher. El Shmuel Damar Tassah Gavar. But according to Shmuel, that we say Tassah Gavar, that the stationary bottom piece is what determines whether this is called a Tarovus of Cham or a Tarovus of Tzonein. Solas, given the Tzonenis, since the Solas is cold, Akurika Mekarlei, it should cool whatever falls on it down. A hot Rotav falls on it, that Rotav should instantly become cool. So Lamali Yikmotzes Makomo, why do I have to be Komets the Makom where the Solas is? So we should, so I'm Rabbi Yirmiyahu Shmuel, the Solas Ratachas. That's Rabbi Yirmiyahu Shmuel said. No, the flour that we're talking about is not cold flour. That was the original answer. We're talking about hot flour. Says Gemara Raya number 3, also from our Mishnah. Tanan, Sachal B'Shem Shal Truma, if you anoint with Truma oil, you put Truma oil on the Karban Pesach, so Im Chaburus Kohanim Yochlu. If it's a Chabur of Kohanim, good, Yochelu, let them go eat the Karban. Im Shal Yisrael, and if it's a Chabur of Yisrael, they're not allowed to eat Truma, so Im Chayhu, if the Karban Pesach is not yet roasted, Yadichenu, so you can rinse it all off, but in Tzliu, if it's already roasted, Yiklof Asachiton, you have to peel off the outer layer of the Karban, because that's where the Shemen is. So Bishlam, the Rav Damri Yilah Agavram Tullah Chisagile B'Klipa. According to Rav, that Yilah Agavar, I get why Klipa is enough, that you don't have to do more than Klipa. Because normally when you have Cham Lato Cham, the Blios go all the way through. It's not just Kedei Klipa, it's not just on the outer surface of it. So I get why Klipa would be enough, according to Rav, since after all, the Shemen was cold, and Yilah Agavar, that's the Shemen is going to determine that this is called a cold mixture, so that's why you only need a Klipa. Mishum Di Yilah Atzoninu, because the Shemen is cold in this case, the Shemen Shel Truma is cold. El Shmuel Damar Tasa Agavar, but according to Shmuel, that the whole definition of the Tarovas is based on what the bottom stationary piece is, in this case the Karban Pesach, Kivan the Chamu, since the Basar of the Karban Pesach is hot, so Mivla Bala, it should be totally Balea, so Amai Sagi B'Klipa, if it's going to be Balea, all of the Shemen of the Truma, why would a Klipa be good enough? Nitzer Lagamri, should Asher the whole thing, the whole Basar of the Karban Pesach should be Asher. Says Marno, Shiny Sicha Damashq B'Alma Hu Davida. No, because when you're just rubbing a little oil on the surface of the Karban, we don't assume that that minuscule amount of oil that's used just to rub on the surface of the carbon is really going to penetrate all the way through. When you have a real tarovus of a significant amount, that's when something penetrates all the way through. But just a little bit of oil that you rub on the surface is only going to penetrate as far as a kedei klipa. The Bach in Yoredeya and Simon Sadi Dalid writes that din is only when the Pesach doesn't have Me'ah Pa'amim connected the Shemen Shel Truma. Truma is Batal B'Me'ah. Right? By Truma, the halacha is normally we always apply Bittul B'Shishim based on the concept of Tam or Bittul B'Rov if you have Yavish B'Yavish. But Truma is Batal B'Me'ah. To be Mevatal Truma, you need Me'ah. So let's say the Karban Pesach is more than 100 times the volume of the Truma of the Truma oil that you put on the Karban Pesach. So says the Bach, then it's going to be Batal anyway. So this whole discussion is only if it's such a tiny animal that the shemen shel truma that you put over it is less than is not going to be batal b'meya. It's more than 1/100 of the meat. So that's why the shemen will also the pesach. But if the pesach was meya pa'amim keneged the shemen, then the shemen will be batal anyway. The pesach would never be aser. You'd have no discussion over here. But even if it's not meya keneged a shemen, since it's such a that's our gemara's kiddush. Since it's such a tiny amount of shemen to begin with, even though proportionally it's not a 100-to-1 ratio, but it's a tiny amount of shemen, we assume it doesn't get very far into the meat. So the Taz says he doesn't understand. The Isser is mispashet in the entire Pesach. In general, when you have Isser that mixes with heter in a heat situation, it spreads throughout. And the Pesach doesn't have shir meya to be mevatalit, so the whole Pesach should be aser if that's the case. Taz says, no, the case over here is that there is a shir of meya pa'amim against the shemen. And that's why all the basar of the Pesach is going to be mutter. Why then do you need a klipa at all if you have bittel? Because the makom, where it fell, we assume it attaches to more strongly than the rest of it. That even though it does go and travel and is nispashe through everything, but there's a higher concentration of the shemen in the makom that it fell. And that's why you need a kadei klipa. So fundamental machlokas between the Bach and the Taz, just what the case is over here and how this plays out, how this interacts with the general din of bittel of truma. Okay, Tanya Kavasi Shmuel. Now that we brought three rayas against Shmuel and we answered all of the rayas, now we're going to bring two brises that support Shmuel. So Tanya Kavasi Shmuel. One brisa that supports Shmuel, again, Shmuel is one that holds Tasa'a Gavar, it says as follows, Cham l'tol cham, if hat falls into hat, aser. V'chein tzonich nosan l'tol cham, aser. And also if something cold falls into something hot, it's aser, meaning it's a tarovus of heat. Cham l'tol tzonin, but hot falls into cold. Or tzonin l'tol tzonin, cold into cold, madiach. Then all you need to do is rinse it off in water, and that's good enough. In the Pesach Tshuva, he writes that hadacha just means that. It just means rinse it off. You don't need to be meshafshef as well. You don't need to scrub it. It's just that there may be something from the surface, some moisture from the surface. Of one item is now on the surface of the other item. You had a cold piece of meat and a cold piece of cheese, and they touched each other, so you have to worry. A little bit of the moisture from the meat is on the cheese, so wash off the cheese, and once you wash off the cheese, it's totally mutter. So you only need to be madiach. So says the Gemara to elaborate in this brisa. Cham l'tol tzonin madiach kiven decham hu ademeker le iavshar de lo balaporta klipa miyani bayi. Ask the Gemara. Wait a second. Why is rinsing it good enough? If you have something hot, meaning when two cold things touch, I get that rinsing it is good enough. There's no actual blia that happens. But even if you hold tasa gavar, if something hot falls something cold. Let's say you have a piece of cheese sitting on your counter and a hot piece of meat lands right on that piece of cheese. I understand that the cheese is going to determine that this is a cold mixture. But there were, even at the point of contact, there was no heat, there was no transference of time at all. There has to be. You should at least need to take leap for the time it takes for the cheese to cool down the meat that just landed on it. In those couple of seconds that it takes for that to happen, there was some heat and there was some transference. So you should at least need to peel off a kadei klipa. Ela Ema says, "Well, you're right. Cham l'tok tzonin kolef, tzonin l'tok tzonin madiach." That there are really three halachos over here. When you have cham l'tok cham, the plios transfer all the way through. It penetrates fully from one item to the next. When you have tzonin l'tok tzonin, you just need to rinse it off. Plios don't transfer at all. When you have cham l'tok tzonin, then even though tasa agavar, so it's considered like a cold mixture, but you're still going to need to peel off a layer because of each food, because you assume that a little bit it gets in. Tanya Idach, we have another brisa that also seems to be a raya to Shmuel. Basar rotech shenafel atoch chalav rotech, hot meat falls into hot milk, v'chein sonin shenafel atoch cham, or cold falls into hot, asr. So that's going to be asr, because tasa agavar. Cham l'toch tzonin, if hot falls into cold, or tzonin l'toch tzonin mediach, or cold falls into cold, then you just rinse it off. Again, beferish like Shmuel, that tasa agavar. So again, we're going to ask on the braisa, cham l'toch tzonin, wait, if something hot falls onto something cold, mediach, kimet achamu ademekar liyev shalo balaporta. If it was hot, it had to be that even though it cooled down, it took some time till it cooled down, it must have been balea a little bit, klipa mi anibaya, at least you should have to do a kadei klipa, sa ela ema, you're right. There is like this middle case where something cham falls into something tzonin, where you still need, you don't assume it's balea through and through, but at least you do need a kedei klipa. Summer mar tzonin tzonin mediach. When we said that two cold items hit each other, so then you have to be mediach. So amar avuna lo shanu elish lo malcho. That this idea that there are no blios to transfer and all you need to do is rinse it off, that's only if nothing was salted. Aval melacha, but if it was salted, so meaning what the Gemara is doing right now is telling us heat is not the only way that tam transfers. Even without heat, sometimes tam will transfer. Namely, through melicha. If something is salted, then it's aser. Damar Shmuel, meliach harei hu kiroseach. Because Shmuel holds that something that's maluach, something that's salted, as it didn't like, it's roseach. As if it's hot, so if a food touches it, it's as if it touched a hot food, and the tam is going to transfer from one to the other. The Gemara in Chulin, Kuf Yud Gimel, when it talks about Meliach Karoseach, says it's dafka, that which touches the Meichel that's Meluach, it's as if it touched a hot food. But the Meichel that's Meluach itself, while it expels its tam, it does not absorb any outside tam. That Melicha, being salty, enables a food to get rid of tam and to send tam out to other things. But it does not enable it to absorb tam from other things. And that's what we paskin in Shulchan Aruch as well. So there is a machlokes rishonim, how much of the food becomes us with melech, meaning is it mamish karoseach? Is it mamish like heat, where you're going to assume that it's boleya through and through? So the Ramban, the Beis Yosef quotes the Ramban, that, and the Beis Yosef understands that the Rambam holds this way as well, that yes, that it's mamish kiroseach mamish, that when we say, whenever you have kid in Shas, whenever you have that something is hirur kidibur, or whatever it is, Shamea Ki Ona is the famous one. So do we assume that Ki means the equivalent of, that it's the full equivalent of, or do we mean similar to? So Meliach, is it Ki Roseach Mamish, that it's really like heat, where it transfers through and through, or no, it's similar to heat, in that there's blios that transfer, but not the same way as heat, and on a certain level, for sure not the same way, because when there's heat, it's a two-way street, right? Whereas Meliach Ki Roseach, we just said it's a one-way street, it only goes from the Meluach to the other item. The Rashba and the Rush and the Tur hold that that it's only Kedei Klipa. The Meliach is only Kroseach Kedei Klipa, whereas the Ra'ah holds that it's Kedei Netila. So you do have this Machlokas. Now, the Tosus writes in Maseches Chulin that when it comes to Meliach Kroseach, that we throw out the whole discussion of Ilah and Tasa. It doesn't matter what's higher or lower. Now, if you understand the idea of Tasa Gover is based on heat rising, you understand very well why Ilah v'Tasa gets cast aside when we're dealing with Meliach Kroseach. You're dealing with two cold items. One of them is Moluach, one of them is salted. I don't care if they're side by side, one on top of the other one on top of that one. So that's what the Tosfos writes in Maseches Chulin. The Rashba, however, says, no, even by a Machal Moluach, it's not going to be Mavliya more than a Kedei Klipa, like a Machal She'enu Moluach, unless it's the Elyon according to Rav, or the Tachton according to Shmuel, meaning you still have to fit in Ilah Gavar and Tasa Gavar into Meliach Kroseach as well. The Meliach Kroseach only has an impact when the Meliach is the Tasa'a, according to Shmuel, because Tasa'a Gavar, and that's what's going to determine that this is considered Meluach. So anyway, so that's one way that time transfers without heat. The other is Kavush Areu Kimavushal, that if something soaks cold or pickles in brine for an extended period of time, let's assume 24 hours, like that's the basic Shita, so that's going to be considered also to transfer time. Sam Rava Hadam Shmuel Meliach Areu Kroseach, that which Shmuel says Meliach Kroseach, that has to be that it's so salty that it becomes inedible as a result of its saltiness. But if it's edible on even in its salted state, then it's not going to be salty enough to transfer time from one thing to the other. Hu bar gozla denafal lekada dekamcha. There was a story that happened that a bird, meat of a bird, fell into a jug of kutach. Kutach is a type of food that we know a few things about. We learned earlier in the Masechta that it's got chametz in it. We know that it's salty from this sugya, and we also know that it's milchig from the sugyas from here and from the sugyas in Maseches Chulin. So you have this bird that fell into kutach, which is salty, milchik food. So Shari Rav Chinna Brei D'Rava Mipashronia. Rav Chinna Brei D'Rava Mipashronia allowed people to eat that bird because even though the kutach is maluach, it's not really kiroseach. Amar Rav Man Chakam Mishra Milsa Kiha Ilav Rav Chinna Brei D'Rava Mipashronia. You need a chacham of the Madrega or Rav Chinna Brei D'Rava Mipashronia to be able to think of a heter over here. The Gavar Rabahu, because he's a great man, he knows exactly what the hatter. So Amalach ki Amr Shmuel Meliach Harei Kroseach Shei Nechem Lachem Smolcho. That's only when it's not Nechem Lachem Smilcho. But Hai Nechem Lachem Smilcho. The kutach is meant to be eaten as it is. So you're not going to say Meliach Kroseach. So it doesn't have the status of that which is Meluach. Vahani Mili Chai. But that which we're saying that meat falls into the kutach, that it's going to be mutter, that's only if the meat was not yet cooked or roasted. Aval Tzli. But if the meat was already roasted, then Bayi Klipa. Then you do need to peel off the outer surface of the meat. V'lo amaran ela delespe pili. And that we also only say this din that if it's roasted that falls into kutach, that you could just peel off the outer layer and that's good enough. That's only if there are no crevices in the meat. Aval ispe pili. But if there are crevices in the meat where the milk is going to be able to, the kutach is going to be able to sneak in there, then aser. Then the whole thing is going to be aser. V'metuvel betavli aser. And if the meat is spiced up really well, then it's going to be aser because tavlinim are going to allow the kutach to penetrate as well, are going to allow the milk to penetrate as well. That is part one of the daf. Ila gavar tasa gavar meliach kroseach kavish kumvusel. Now we move on to part two of the daf, which is the sugya of recha. So Amar Rav. Basar shchuta. If you have regular shechted meat, shamein, that's fatty meat, so it has a significant reyach. Shetzilu and basar nevela kachush. You roast it together in the same oven with a very lean basar nevela. So the basar nevela doesn't have a strong reyach, and the two pieces of meat don't touch each other. They're just both sitting on their own spits in the same cheres oven. So it's asr. The basar shchuta is going to be asr. My taima mefat me adadi. Each one gets from the reyach of the other. So the reyach that comes out of the shomen of the basar shchuta is absorbed in the basar of the nevela, and it gives aroma to the basar nevela, and through that the basar nevela, which was kachush, which was lean, now is able to emit its own aroma because of the fattiness that it absorbed through the reyach of the other piece of meat. So now it's able to emit its own aroma, and that goes to the kosher piece of meat, and that's going to make the kosher piece of meat aser through the reyach. Levi Amar Afilu Basar Shchuta Kachush. It's all in Basar Nevela Shamin. He said, "No, I'll tell you one better. Even if the Shchuta was lean and the Nevela was the fatty piece of meat, mutter. Even that case is going to be mutter. You would think that if the Nevela is the Shamin, that's producing all the reyach, and that's going to be a real problem. It's mutter. My taima Reicha Bialmu Reicha Lav Milsu. What does reyach mean? Reyach doesn't mean anything. Reyach is not significant at all. Reyach is Lav Milsa. Reyach has no mamashus. It's not going to be aser. It's interesting, in the beginning of Simon Kuf Ches, which is where we discuss Recha, the Aruch HaShulchan says that, let's say like you pack up a lunch, right, and you put a piece of salami in a bag with a challah roll or something. And then you decide you'd rather have that challah roll with cream cheese. You'd rather not have it. It was in the same bag together. They didn't touch or whatever, but it was in the same Ziploc. And you smell the challah roll and it reeks of salami. So he says, then you got to be machmir on the recha. The whole discussion of recha milsa is in lamdas. But if you taste it, you know, then it's there. Meaning, so if it's all a theoretical discussion, do I assume the aroma? That's about assumptions. But if it's mamish there, then you have to assume it's a chiddush because pashas recha lav milsa means that I don't care what it smells like. It's lav milsa. It's insignificant in halacha. So avid levi uvda beresh Mishkalusa Begdiv Davar Acher. Levi Paskin Halacha Lemaisa, like his own Shita that we're saying over here in a case where a Chazer was roasted together with a Gedi. So I asked the Gemara on Levi Meisve. So they ask on Levi, wait a second, Ain't Sol Shnei Pesachim Keechad Mipnei HaTarovis. We learned that you're in a Brisa, you're not allowed to roast two Korbanos Pesach together because of the Tarovis. So my love, Tarovis Tamim. So what kind of Tarovis? Just because they're roasting in the same oven, that means it's a Tarovis. Doesn't it mean that the two of them are affecting each other through their Reach, and it's as if each one is absorbing the Tam of the other one? And by Korban Pesach, you're only allowed to eat from the Korban that you're registered on, not from some other Korban. So if the Reach of another Korban affects my Korban, I'm sure I shouldn't be allowed to eat from it. So Kasha Levi, so isn't this a Kasha Levi who said Recha Lav Milsa? Don't you see from the case of Korban Pesach that Recha is Milsa? So says Maralo, Mepre Tarov is goofing. No, the concern of roasting them is that you might just confuse them for each other. You might give the wrong Korban Pesach to the wrong guy. It has nothing to do with Recha. Hachinam Yisavra, it must be about Tarov is goofing. Me, Diktani Sef goes on to say, Afilu Gedi Utla, even if you have a Gedi and a Tla, Iyam Rapishlam Mnei Gufin, Hainu Diktani Afilu Gedi Utla. That's why it says, even a Gedi and a Tla. Eliam Netarov's time, but if it's about the transfer of time from one to the other, Mali Gedi Gedi, what's the Afilu? Why would you have to say, even if it's a Gedi Utla? The Reach will go from one to the other, regardless of whether they're the same type of animal, different types of animal. Oh, but the concern for confusion is less likely when they're different types of animals. So that's an Afilu. So Elamai, Al Karchach Mabre Tarov's Gufin Udasir. So it must be that it's an issue of Tarov's Gufin, that you'll confuse one for the other. Av Tarov's time Shari, Lema Tavitiv to Drav. So let's just flip this around and let it be a tiyuftan rav, because apparently we're not concerned about the recha. Some Rabbi Yirmiyachim Ayaskin don't shetzlo b'shtei kederos. Now maybe they're roasted in separate pots. So if there's a hefsek kedera in between them that separates them, meaning there are separate compartments of the oven. So that's why the recha is not going to affect b'shtei kederos. In pots, you can't cook a karm pesach in a pot. A pot roast karm pesach is also that's back in daf mamal. Ela'ema ke'ein shtei kederos. No, it says if it's two pots. V'achi kamar ein sol shnei Psachim kechem me tarovus. My tarovus tarovus tam. Tarovus means a transfer of the tam. Vafilu ke'en shtei kaderos. The like a tarovus tamim, asur mishum tarovus gufin. And even if you happen to have a wall in between them, so there is no tarovus tamim, I'm still concerned if it's in the same basic structure of an oven that they're going to confuse the two animals with each other. They'll give the wrong carbon to the wrong group. Vafilu k'di utle. And even if they're two different types of animals, Amar of Mari Kitanoi, that it's machlokas tanoim, this inyan of recha milsa or recha lav milsa. Harod de paschal. The Mishnah in Truma says, if you take boiling hot bread right out of the oven and you put it over a barrel of Truma, Rameir says that pas is now Asr Bachila because it absorbed the Reach of the Truma. Rabbi Yehuda says Mutter. Rabbi Yossi Matir Shalchitim with Osir B'Shal Sorim. Rabbi Yehuda says it depends what type of bread. That Sa'orim bread absorbs a lot more Reach. Chitim bread absorbs much less. Sa'orim show Avos. Sa'orim is like it's like a vacuum. It draws in all of the reach of the ayin. So my lav tanoi, isn't this exactly machlokas tanoim? Demar sav recha lav milsi. Rabbi Yehuda, who allows the bread, says recha lav milsi. I'm not worried about the reach. Umar sav Rameir, who asers the bread, holds recha milsi. He holds that we are concerned about the reach. So it's exactly machlokas tanoim. So says Gemara, you know what? Lelevi vade tanoi. According to Levi, certainly it's a machlokas tanoim. There's no other way to explain what's going on over there. But the Rav holds that recha milsa, name a Tanoihi. Do you have to say that it's necessarily a Tanoihi? No. Amalach Rav, Dukuli Alma, Recha Milsi. Rav will tell you that really everyone, both Rameir and Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, all agree that Recha is Milsa, and that which Rabbi Yehuda says that the pas is Mutter, it's not because he holds that Reach doesn't answer. He just holds that warm bread that's put on a barrel of wine is not Balea, the Reach. It doesn't absorb any of the Reach of the wine. It's not cooking in the same oven. It's just sitting on the barrel. So the Gemara brings a raya that Rav does not have to learn that this is machlokas tanaim. Lavit maraloda hi amar Rav Bar Chana amar Reish Lakish v'pas chama v'chavis psucha dibre akol aser. If it's hot bread and the barrel is open, everyone's going to say it's aser. V'pas nanas v'chavis magufa dibre akol mutter. Cold bread and a closed barrel, everyone's going to say it's mutter. Lo nechlik el v'pas chama v'chavis chasuma o pas nanas v'chavis psucha. It's only going to the whole machlokas is only if you have one consideration working for you and the other working against you. Either the bread is warm or the barrel is open. So Anami And this halach of basur shchuta, that's the roasting together with basur nevela, is like hot bread on an open barrel, and that everyone agrees to that we're worried about recha. If you bake bread with roasted meat in an oven, you can't have that bread with milchig, because the recha of the meat got into that bread. There was a fish that was roasted together with meat in the oven. And Rava said, you're not allowed to eat that fish with milchigs because it absorbed some of the reach of the meat. Even if it was just in salt, even if you want to eat the fish just with salt, with a part of a food, not with kutach, nami asura, it's also going to be asur. Why? Meaning that fish has become treif. Why? Mishum dekasha l'reichel davar acher. Because when fish has been roasted with meat, it's unhealthy. It can cause reyach hapeh, it can cause bad breath, and it can cause tzara'as. So for those reasons, that's the issue of fish and meat, which is an issue mishum sakana. For those reasons, it's asur. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with the Mishnah, so we'll have shir at regular time on Shabbos, but I'll also do Motzai Shabbos on Zoom, Be'ez Hashem, at what time did we say? 7 o'clock? 7 o'clock. So 7 o'clock on Zoom, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow night as well.